not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So this evening we want to talk about open ears, or you could say marked for service, but we'll say open ears. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for allowing us to be called your sons and to be called your children and to be able to serve you, Lord. We count that as a privilege, Father. Lord, I pray that it would never become as a chore or just as an empty duty. Lord, I pray that we would serve you from a pure heart, from a heart of love towards you and not just simply duty, Father. Lord, help us to remember these things. Help us to keep our minds and our eyes focused on your love toward us, what you have done for us, and just to keep our eyes focused on that, dear God, and to serve you out of a heart of love. Help us to remember and realize that you have pierced our ears, you have opened our ears, Lord, and we are obligated to serve you. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask you this evening, why do you serve the Lord? If you do serve the Lord, and everyone here, by your being here, you could say that you serve the Lord. I mean, in some capacity, you've done something. I mean, you got dressed. You know, it took you a while to get dressed. You got your good clothes on. You came down to church, and you're serving the Lord, at least in that capacity. I mean, so, you know, we ought to be reading the Bible and praying every day. We ought to be doing all those things. We ought to be witnessing. And I'm sure each and all of us do that. At least we should be. Why do you do that? Is it because you just have to? Are you here this evening because, well, the pastor will get mad if I don't show up? Are you here because you just want to look religious? Maybe you think that, well, people will think that, you know, I'm backslidden or I'm no good or I'm just big sinner if I don't come to church tonight. Or do you come to church tonight because you love God and you want to be here? Why do you serve God? Why do you serve the Lord? It ought to come from a heart of love towards your Savior, amen, towards God. Amen. David's speaking here. I mean, it's all a great sacrifice. I realize that. I mean, you could have stayed home. You could have watched TV. You could have done something else that you liked better than coming down and coming to church. It's a sacrifice. You put offering in the offering plate. You give 10%. You give a tithe. You give an offering to the missionaries. Hey, that's a sacrifice. Why do you do that? Why do you sacrifice to the Lord? Why do you serve the Lord? I mean, that's something that you ought to ask yourself. You know, there's plenty of religious people out there, and they're just doing it. They're just doing it because, well, that's the way they were raised, and mom and dad will be mad at me if I don't go to church or I don't do this. You see, they're doing their service out of the wrong heart, for the wrong motives, I'm trying to say. So why do you do the things that you do? Why do you serve God? Why do you sacrifice? Why do you keep coming week after week? You sacrifice your time. You sacrifice your money. You do all these things. Why? Why do you serve God? I want to give you the answer to that as to why that we serve God at the end of the message, okay? So you want to tune in. Don't fall asleep. Try to stay awake and listen, and then you'll find out the answer at the end of that. Because this passage of Scripture here is quoted in Hebrews chapter number 10. And when it says in verse number 6, it says, "Mine ears thou hast opened." Instead of saying that in Hebrews chapter 10, it will say, "A body thou hast prepared for me." There's a difference there, and there's a reason why that is. Okay? So the reason, I want to find out what is the reason why we're here? Why do we serve God? Why do we do all these things? And I want to give you some marks of service for the Lord. If you're a servant of God here this evening, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something that ought to be true in your life and in my life. I mean, we want to look at those things. I'll give you three things here in just a second, but the first half of the chapter, we see that David was waiting on the Lord, and then he comes to verse number 6, and he says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire." Now, you'd think that Jesus or God would say, "Hey, I want your sacrifice. I want you to bring that offering," because, by the way, he's the one that instituted those sacrifices, wasn't he? Yeah. You go and you read through Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all those things, you find out that God wanted a sacrifice for those people. But then David gets here and he says, hey, sacrifice an offering you didn't desire. Now, is David contradicting the law here? No, what David's talking about bringing a sacrifice, doing your service for God with the right heart and with the right attitude. It's the attitude that you bring with your service that counts. I mean, you can sit in church and hate your brother that's sitting next to you in the pew. Amen. I mean, you can sit in church and say amen and then hold a grudge against somebody else. Yeah. I mean, you can do all those things. You can put your money in, you can tithe, you can do all those things and then go home and get drunk. You know, you can do bad things in church. You can have unclean thoughts in church. See, it reminds me of the story back in 1 Samuel chapter number 15 where Saul decided that he was going to make a sacrifice to God, but yet in his heart he was disobedient to God. And so Samuel came up and approached him and he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. He says, stubbornness and rebellion is as the sin of idolatry and witchcraft. You need to obey instead of just giving a sacrifice. Because you can come with your wicked heart and come down and just give any old sacrifice that you want and doesn't count because of the attitude that you brought with it. So David said, you didn't desire sacrifice. Instead, you desired delight, love for the Word of God. Love for the Word of God. So David said, God opened my ears. God put an awl through my ear and made me His own. So now I have to serve Him. I will serve Him. I want to serve Him. Hold your finger in Psalm chapter number 40 and go over to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. And this has to do with a Hebrew servant selling himself to a fellow Hebrew. It says in verse number 1, it says, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the 7th year he shall go out free for nothing. So if you are a Hebrew servant in Israel, working for another Hebrew servant, and he owned you, you had to work at least 6 years. All right, everybody got that? Working 6 years. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Look at verse number 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the door of the post. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So that Hebrew servant, if he wanted to, he could stay there and he could serve him forever. And what did the judge do or the master do? He bored his ear through with an awl. He opened his ears. Have your ears been opened this evening? Go back to Psalm chapter number 40. Have your ears been opened this evening by the Lord? Has He marked you for service? Has He put a hole through your ear and said, hey, that man or that woman is mine. He's my servant. Amen. I'm going to use them. They are consecrated and set apart for service to me. Because let me tell you something this evening. You only have two choices. Two choices. You can either serve the devil or you can serve God. One of the two. And if you're not serving God, then you're serving the devil. So I know which one are you serving this evening? God or the devil? Who do you belong to? Whose child are you? As a matter of fact, it tells us in the book of Ephesians, as I keep going back to that, it says that you were the children of disobedience. You were against God. You did not obey God. But then God put it all through your ear and marked you for service. And so now you serve God. You have an open ear this evening? Let's look at three things that ought to be true in your life if you have an open ear for the Lord here this evening. God has miraculously opened your ear. Number one, you're going to delight to do the will of God. You're going to delight to do that. Number two, you will proclaim the word of God. And number three, you will be unashamed of the righteousness of God. Look at number one is to delight to do the will of God. Verse number 8, what does he say there in Psalm chapter 40? He says, I delight to do thy will. David said, hey man, you don't have to twist my arm to obey God. I want to do it. Man, that's what makes me happy. That's what I enjoy is doing God's will. I delight to do God's will. Do you delight to do God's will here this evening? Do you want to obey the word of God, or do you try to find a loophole or some way out? Say, I don't really think that applies to me, and so I'm not going to do that. Can I tell you that's not a mark of a Christian? That's not a mark of a person who has had their ears opened. I delight to do thy will. He had joy in service to the Lord. It was a genuine delight. David saw the law of God and he said, man, that's what I love. Amen. Have you ever read the 119th Psalm here? Man, it's all about the Word of God. And he loves the Word of God. Amen. He wants to obey the Word of God. And he says, I delight to do thy will. Delight means to desire, favor, to like, or be moved, or be well pleased. And that's what he thought about God's will. He said, man, I want to do that. I want to obey God. What is your delight? Did you know that your will follow your heart, your desires? Your will follows what you want to do. It follows your heart. That's why you do the things that you do, because you just want to do them. Is there some things you like to do and you want to do? Man, there's some things I love to do. I delight to do those things. Man, on Thursday nights, I get to go spend time with my wife, and we just mark that night out. That's our night, Thursday night. Man, we go out and we do something. Go out to eat, or we'll find something to do. We've been doing that for almost 10 years now. It's a tradition. Man, I delight to do that. I can't wait. Man, Thursday night's here, man, that's my delight. I get to go and do that. Man, what else do I like to do? Man, I like to sit down and read a book. You like to read? I like to read a book. Man, that's my delight, man. You don't have to twist my arm. It's raining outside, man. I don't have to go out and work. I can sit inside, get cozy, and read a book. That's my delight. I love to do that. What do you delight to do? You know what? You know why I do those things? Because I just want to. I delight to do those things. There's some things I don't like to do, though. I don't want to do those things. Man, anybody here ever ran a weed eater? I don't want to run a weed eater. I do it, but I don't want to. I'm not thinking, boy, yeah, summer's coming to get to run that weed eater, boy. Man, I can't wait. You know what else I don't like to do? I don't like to do push-ups. You're not going to see me just volunteering to do push-ups, because I don't like to do that. That's not my delight. I don't want to do no push-ups. You know, I used to run equipment over there in Texas, and there was one piece of equipment that you couldn't pay me enough to run. I'd run a bulldozer. I'd run a track hoe. I'd run a motor grader. I'd run a front-end loader, but you're not going to get me on a forklift. I hate forklifts. Forklifts, man, you get pipe on those things, and man, you're wobbling around out there, and the ground's not level. Well, there goes all your pipe, and it looks like you got a big old load of spaghetti there, man alive. And there goes the pipe sliding off the forks and everything. I don't want to run a forklift. Keep me away from a forklift. Why didn't I want to do that? I don't want to. That's not my delight. I don't want to do those things. I don't enjoy those things. But man, David says, man, my delight is to obey the will of God. I want to do that. Do you delight in doing that? Man, Jesus came across some religious leaders in the land of Jerusalem, or in the city of Jerusalem, and they didn't want to obey God. They didn't have no interest in obeying God. They didn't want to obey His commandments. You know what their problem was? The problem was their stinking, rotten, dirty heart was the problem. They had a heart as hard as a rock. And they said, we're not going to obey the Word of God. That was the problem. You know what's wrong with lost people and why they hate the Bible and why they hate God? Is because of their heart. That's the problem. It goes way down deep in here. It's not because of something they're doing on the outside. It's on the inside. That's the problem. Do you delight to do the will of God? Is that your delight? Do you want to? Do you delight it in it? It says in Matthew 13:15 about the Pharisees who did not want to obey the will of God. It said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. What was the problem? The problem was their heart. How is your heart here this evening? Do you delight to do the will of God? That's a mark of a Christian, is a heart for God. A heart for God. If you delight in the Word of God, if you want to obey the Word of God, it will be evident in your speech. Amen. It will come out of your mouth. It will come out of your mouth. That's what we see, number two, as the second mark of service for God is a proclamation of the Word of God. We see in verse number 9. David says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. He said, man, I went out into the great congregation, and I went out and I preached righteousness to those people. He was not ashamed. That's number three, but he was not ashamed of what God had said, of God's standard, of God's righteousness. He went out and he preached those things. So when God opens up the ear of the child of God and makes him his or her servant, they go out and proclaim God's word. The proclamation of the Word of God. What does it mean to preach? When you think of preaching, sometimes you think of someone who stands up in a pulpit and they proclaim the Word of God. They preach the Word of God. That's not the only time to preach. You can preach anywhere, anytime. To preach means to announce the glad news, to be a messenger, to publish, to show forth, to tell the good tidings. That's preaching. Preaching. So David went out, man, he told everyone, he says, God has delivered me, God has redeemed me, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell everyone. He says, man, I went out to the great congregation. He said, man, I went out to where there was a lot of people out there, and I went out and preached. He told everyone what God had done for him, how God had rescued him from the miry pit, how God had redeemed him. Man, that's so wonderful that we have a God who redeems. Man. You think about all the other religions and gods out there that people worship. Do they have a redeemer? Does their God redeem the creation? No. No, he doesn't. No, they have to work in order to redeem their self. We got to be good enough. We got to appease God. We've got to do all of these things to try and appease God. That's not redemption, folks. Not from a God. Not from a God. And David said, man, God has done something for me. He's rescued me from myself. So for those with open ears and hearts filled with the Word of God, it will come out of your mouth and preach. The great reformer Martin Luther, his preaching aroused the church from 1,000 years of slumber during the Dark Ages. It's called the Devil's Millennium, the Dark Ages. Nobody knew the Bible. Nobody was getting saved and all those things. But it's easy to understand why when we discover how Luther preached. He said, Martin Luther said, I preach as though Christ was crucified yesterday, rose again from the dead today, and is coming back to the earth tomorrow. Man, Martin Luther. What a man. How about the Apostle Paul? Man, he went out and he preached to everyone, didn't he? Man, as soon as he got saved on the road to Damascus, what did he do? The Bible says about him, it says, and straightway he went into the synagogues and preached Christ unto them. He preached Christ to those Jews who hated Jesus Christ. He preached Christ to those Jews who had crucified Jesus Christ. He preached. Well, that's a mark of somebody who's had their ears open. Somebody's willing to open their mouth then and let the words come out. Witness to others and preach to others. He said in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2 and verse number 2, he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So now that God has opened our ears, we proclaim the gospel to others. That's for everyone. Men, women, children, everyone can preach. You don't have to be behind a pulpit just to preach. You don't have to have a microphone and a suit on to preach. You can just proclaim the good news to others. What has God done for you? Has he saved you? Has he redeemed you? Hey, we're all called to preach. We're all called to preach. What should we preach? Jesus Christ. Preach Christ. Repentance from sin. The good news about a Savior and what He saved you from. Sin, death, hell. Preach that Jesus Christ is preeminent. Preach that God has made Him King and Lord of lords. And He commands everyone to repent and to come to Him. We preach it to all people, as we just read about there. David, man, he went out to everyone, the great congregation, big groups of people, and preached. What did Jesus Christ say as He left this earth? He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Everyone needs to know. Africans, Asians, Chinese, Japanese, everyone's got a sin problem. No one is exempt from sin. They all have this wicked mind and this sin abiding on the inside. Every status, every class, rich or poor, every religion, everyone needs Jesus Christ. Everyone needs the gospel. It's universal. So God has called us to preach the gospel to all creatures, and therefore we cannot be ashamed of His righteousness. David was not ashamed. He was not ashamed. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10. "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart." He said, man, I didn't hide it. He said, God has done something good for me. He's righteous. I love His righteous judgments, and I'm not going to hide them on the inside of my heart. Amen. He said, man, I'm not going to be a covert believer. I'm not going to be a secret agent in God's kingdom. I'm going to go and tell everyone. I'm not going to hide it in my heart. What else does he say in that verse? He says, "I have not concealed thy loving kindness." He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell everyone about the loving kindness of God. David was not ashamed of the righteous judgments of God, the faithfulness, the loving kindness, the truth of God. And so we as Christians, whom God has opened our ears, marked us for service, and we can't hide that. No way. No way. You don't read about that in the Bible. You don't read about somebody who got converted and then said, man, I better keep this to myself. I'm going to tell anybody. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch over in Acts chapter number 8? Remember what he did? He didn't say, man, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and not tell anybody. No, he went on his way rejoicing, and he was happy. It came out. He wasn't going to hide it. You can't hide something like that. You can't hide regeneration. You can't hide the new birth. How about whenever you had a brother Yazzie just had a baby born? I bet he knew that baby was alive, didn't he? Because you know what? That baby probably came out of the womb and probably crying, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't gonna keep his mouth shut. I know I've had three kids, and that's the first thing they did when they came out. They started crying. Same way with a Christian. Boy, they proclaim it, they don't hide it in their hearts. David was unashamed of the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Well, for the New Testament Christian, it's Jesus Christ. He is the righteousness of God. Also the Word of God, I understand that. But Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. He is the salvation of God. He is the truth of God. He is the loving kindness of God. And we tell that to everyone. We don't hide it from anyone. The Apostle Paul again said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." He said, man, I know what happened to me. I know what God did for me. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell everybody else. He said, man, I'm not going to hide it from anybody. Greeks, barbarians, wise, unwise, Jews and Gentiles. I'm going to go and I'm going to tell everybody. I'm not going to hide it in my heart at all. He held nothing back. So we have nothing to be ashamed of, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a Christian here this evening, man, you can hold your head up high. And you cannot, should not be ashamed to be a Christian. You should not be ashamed of the Word of God. Don't be ashamed of that. Man alive, I tell you what, you've got something so precious here in salvation and in the Word of God. Man, God has done something for us. He does not leave His children alone. He provides for us. And so we should not be ashamed of the Word of God and of God. There's going to be some people who'll be ashamed one of these days. One of these days, everyone will have to stand before God. They'll have to give an account of themselves. One of these days, people will be ashamed. They'll think, man, I wish that I had chosen Jesus Christ. I wish that I had believed on Jesus Christ. But instead, they chose a religion. They chose a formality. They chose something else. They chose atheism. They chose agnosticism. They chose all those things. They'll be ashamed one of these days. But you and I, we can't be ashamed. Can't be ashamed. So those are some attitudes of service and obedience that ought to be true for every child of God. God has bored in a hole through our ear and made us His own, and we are His servants forever. But like I said at the beginning of this message, that this passage here in Psalm chapter number 40, it's not only about David. This has a prophetic application here. As I told you in verse number 6, it says, when he says, "Mine ears thou hast opened." If you read the passage in Hebrews chapter number 10, it says, "A body thou hast prepared for me." Who do you think that body was that was prepared? It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the body that was prepared. Now, you and I have our ear pierced, I guess you could say. You know what Jesus had? Jesus had many more piercings than just an ear pierced. Jesus had his hands pierced. He had his feet pierced. He had his side pierced. He had a crown of thorns platted upon his head. He was pierced in many ways. How can you and I be a servant of the Most High God forever and ever? Only because of that sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. He is the sacrifice once and for all. And now you and I can be servants of the Most High God forever and ever. Instead of pierced ears, of course, Jesus had a pierced side. So because of his sacrifice, you and I have the privilege of being servants to God. And what a privilege it is. Hey, we serve God. We can serve God out of a heart of love now and not just strictly duty. Amen. We can serve God out of a heart of love. For the right motives, we can be committed to God. That sacrifice perfected us forever, sanctified us forever, made us and marked us as His servants forever. Now we can serve God with the right and the proper attitude because of Jesus Christ. We don't look to David for strength and wisdom. He was an earthly and a fallible king. We look to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. That's who we look to. We don't sacrifice ourselves. We ought to be living sacrifices, as it tells us in Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 to 2. But we don't sacrifice ourselves to please God. We sacrifice ourselves because we love God. That's why we come to God. That's why it ought to be. That's why we come to God. I was reading in that chapter, as a matter of fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." You guys remember that? By the mercies of God. Why do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God? Why? Because of the mercy of God. Because God has been merciful to us. And gracious to us. That ought to be the most motivation right there. Because of love in our hearts towards God. So that was David's whole point of writing when he wrote in this chapter, is that he delighted to do the will of God. He wanted to do the will of God. That's the reason for his service. And that ought to be the reason for our service and sacrifice, because of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. He purchased us, didn't he? The price that was paid was his blood, and he purchased us. And so therefore we serve him. So I'd like to ask you this evening, have your ears been opened? Have your ears been opened? And then ask yourself, why do you serve God? Why do you do the things that you do? What's the reason for it? What's your motivation? It ought to be because we love God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be your servants, allowing us to be your children once again, Father. We pray that you'd help us to remember the sacrifice that you made on the cross for us. Let that be our motivation. Let that be our motivation to serve you, Lord. Let us not do it just strictly out of duty, but out of love for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.